Welcome to the Locked On Colts podcast. This is Jake Arthur, joined by my partner, Zach Hicks. We, of course, are two new people that you're not used to hearing on this show. So today we'll just tell you a bit about ourselves, who we are, what we do, and we're also going to break down the Colts training camp schedule that came out this week. And, you know, we're going to tell you some of the biggest things that we're looking out for. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Colts fans, thanks so much for tuning in and making us your number one listen of the day. For any new listeners here that are hopping on with us because Zach and I are here, or if you're a returning listener, regardless, make sure you're subscribing to the show wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating and review as well. So yeah, I promised you a little bit of introduction here. So again, this is Jake Arthur and Zach Hicks. The two of us have actually worked together for years, dating back to our days at Pro Football Spot back in, 8-10 years ago. We also had another Colts we've also had another Colts podcast together. We ran it mostly during the 2020 season. It was a Colts podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Personally, me, Jake, I've been covering the Colts online since 2013. Much of that time I've also specialized in NFL draft and fantasy football coverage as well, so you'll get plenty of that with us. I've previously been with SB Nation and their Colts website, Stampede Blue. And then I was actually with the Colts official website, Colts.com, for a couple of years. I am a credentialed member of the Colts media. So you'll definitely be getting some kind of behind the scenes stuff. I'm kind of our boots on the ground guy there. And I'm a member of the PFWA, Professional Football Writers of America. Zach and I are also both writers currently with Fan Nation and Sports Illustrated's Colts website, Horseshoe Huddle. So after kind of sucking all of that away, Zach, what's left for you to tell us about yourself?
Okay. Next time, if we ever do this for another show, I'll go first because yours is a little more impressive than mine. I'll go first to kind of build up to how cool yours is.
You're plenty impressive.
I'm a little bit younger than Jake, so I started around 2015, 2016 or so with Pro Football Spot, which honestly I completely forgot until Jake mentioned there, the Pro Football Spot way back in the day. Then I moved on to a little site called Breaking Football with a couple big names now that are in the industry. Michael Kist is one of them, who's now a big name with SB Nation. Ben Solak, I think, was there for a bit. You know, we had a lot of guys that were kind of up and comers, and it was really fun. And then that turned into a locked on gig as well. Locked On Washington Football Team or Washington Commanders. Did that for a couple years. And then Matt Daniele and Stampede Blue took a shot on me, and I came over to the Colts market in 2018. And, you know, I'm sure you guys know me from Twitter at Zach Hicks 2 or on Reddit or Facebook or however you're getting this podcast. So you've seen a lot of my crazy stuff on there. But yeah, I've been in the Colts market the last couple years. I signed on to work with Jake and all the guys over at Fan Nation covering the Colts through Sports Illustrated last year as well. I'm basically firmly a Colts guy now after starting my career as a Washington guy or as a draft guy. So it's really cool to be doing another show here with Jake because I know we were the Ramblers, you know, with our other show. So going to be fun to rein it in a little bit here with Locked On.
Yeah, well, we will try to police ourselves as much as possible. But if you've listened to us before, some of these shows may go beyond 30 minutes. But yeah. For as far as Zach goes, you know, stay and love him for his Colts takes, but also, you know, totally break free and leave for his awful food and beverage takes, because you at some point will probably be upset with him.
I'm just going to use an excuse that I'm like neurodivergent or something like that. Or, you know, I was sheltered or something as a kid, or, you know, we'll throw some kind of excuse with it.
But you're in your version of Rumspringa now. That's what you're
right. Right.
All right. So with that out of the way, coming up, the Colts have released their full training camp schedule, including practice dates, times, and themes, as well as, you know, we've got yet another joint practice session, session or two this year. But before we dive into that, let's talk about our favorite online betting destination, Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season.
Right. Did you guys know the Colts are the biggest NFL favorites in week one? There's no way this blows up in their face. We've never seen that happen before, ever.
Definitely not the most recent time they were on the field.
But luckily, it is against the Houston Texans, not against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. So we're looking good this time. BetOnline gave them an 8-point edge on the road against the Texans in week one. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today and or use the mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, next week we're really going to get into the nitty-gritty of Colts training camp and just go through all the details we can. But first, let's discuss the practice schedule, which the team announced on Wednesday. Veterans report on Tuesday, July 26th, with rookies reporting a few days earlier on Saturday. That's, of course, to kind of get their feet wet and, you know, not throw them into the fire with the veterans right away. The team is going to have
rookie mini camp right before that. They have rookie mini camp.
Yeah. They got to ease these dudes in. Yeah. they're going to have 16 open practices to the fans this year. And you do have to have tickets, but tickets are free. So you can visit Colts.com, go to their events section and the training camp part of that. That's where you can get your tickets. Two of those practices are going to be joint practices with the Detroit Lions on August 17th and 18th.
Yes. Yeah,
that's going to be a good one. And
I just need to get Dan Campbell's autograph. Like, that's just what I need. I just need, right. Like, I'll be there as media and then I'll be a fanboy when I get near Dan Campbell because he's like my favorite.
Perfect. Right. Perfect. They have done joint practices with some colorful coaches before. Freddie Kitchens with the Browns a couple years back. That, of course, was the summer that the Colts and Browns could not stop fighting and they literally just had to end the last practice early. And it was during a punt drill. Yep. And they fought. It was like the third or fourth fight of the day. Anthony Walker got really into it, and it was like so hard to get a rise out of that guy. And now, of course, he's on the Browns, but whatever. They're actually going to be on Hard Knocks. So the Colts indirectly will be on Hard Knocks once again as a product of being against the Lions in practice. They've only had one night practice this year. That's kind of been a popular thing for fans over the last several years is the night practices. Just one this year. That's going to be on Saturday, July 30th. The majority of their practices this year are going to be noon start times on weekdays. I believe that's a little bit later than usual, and I think their practices are just kind of a skosh shorter. Yeah. And I've noticed there seems to be more breaks in between. So I don't know if it's just something that Frank Reich spoke with the leadership committee and they came up with that or whatever, but that's kind of how the cookie crumbles on training camp dates this year.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, I got to make my way up there again because we have just the one picture of us together. It's just the one picture. And it's that grainy picture where it's kind of like a Bigfoot type picture, you know, like at a distance.
That's too much. That's too much. And of course, one of our main guys on Twitter took that kind of just creeping on us. We're going to have, and it would be great to be able to do the show live there from Westfield at Grand Park. I know Andrew Moore, who works with us over at Horseshoe Huddle, he's going to be down there several days with me. So you'll hear from him as well. We'll bring the three of us together on those ones. But up next, there are some really intriguing things that both Zach and I want to watch out for in camp. We'll tell you what is most significant to us. All right, three things that both Zach and I are most looking forward to. We'll kind of go bounce back and forth. I'll let Zach, you can go ahead and take the reins on this one first.
Perfect, perfect. I need to start strong, and then you can finish it off for us. But Yeah, exactly. Starting off, you know, I'm going to kind of pump up my own work. You know, this past week I wrote about Jack Doyle's retirement again and kind of what the Colts should do in light of his retirement. So when it comes to training camp, just seeing rotation there is going to be super interesting because, you know, Jack Doyle's been a mainstay for quite a bit here with the Colts. You know, he's been the guy at tight end throughout the whole Frank Reich era. And now the only guy really guaranteed snaps going into next year is Mo Alie-Cox, who just signed that new contract. So behind him, you know, we got so many interesting names and Kylan Granson going into year two, Jelani Woods as a rookie and Drew Ogletree as a rookie as well. I could see a case for any of those guys, you know, being the tight end too or getting a good chunk of snaps. I can feel good about saying all four of them are going to make the roster this year. So just seeing kind of how the snaps go and seeing, you know, how they're using these guys, you know, which guy is going to be that Jack Doyle type on the trap runs and on the misdirection runs and stuff like that. You know, there's going to be so many interesting things to see with that tight end group. And I'm curious to see just kind of, again, what the rotation is going to look like behind Mo Alie-Cox, because personally, I think Kylan Granson probably makes the most sense going into year two and tight ends are, you know, they usually take a bit to develop, but Jelani Woods obviously gets a lot of praise from his coaching staff and Drew Ogletree is a guy that they've wanted for multiple years. So I really could see any of these guys taking the reins there. And I think it's going to be a super, super exciting battle in camp.
Yeah, I think Mo is probably the only one you can comfortably say his role is going to be the top guy. Otherwise, it's probably just going to be so role-based, you know?
Right.
Kylan Granson was drafted last year to be kind of the yards after catch field stretcher type. But it seems like Jelani Woods and Drew Ogletree, they view both of them as that kind of prototype do-it-all tight end eventually in their development. They seem to be in love with Woods, so I wouldn't be shocked if by year's end he was the second guy. But I think Granson's probably getting slept on a little bit. Right. And the position group I'm going to start out with is, you know, right next door to the tight ends, and that's the receivers. Kind of like with tight end, Michael Pittman is really the only guy you know is the established one. You know what his role is. He's the top dog. It's kind of a mixed bag behind him. Paris Campbell, it seems like they would just love to have him be the second guy, at least right away, if he can stay healthy. Alec Pierce, the rookie second round pick. What does that role look like as a rookie? I think long term, we know they want him to be the answer on the other side of the field from Pittman. But again, he's a rookie. He's going to get time to develop. It's fine. Ashton Doolin is kind of taking the Zach Pascal career trajectory. You know, kind of the do-it-all dirty work guy, lots of special teams, but they realize this guy's, you know, kind of really got it at receiver. He might be something. Desmond Patman, another guy who's gotten a little better each year, earned a little more playing time, had a nice touchdown against Arizona, kind of a height, weight, speed guy as well. Mike Strawn being kind of the caboose of this, dominating summer last year in training camp, you know. People came up with the term Megastron, just like Megatron with the Lions, you know. And of course, he's not Calvin Johnson, but he was putting guys on posters every day in camp. You looked at him and you're like, is this going to translate to actually be something in the regular season? It didn't.
No.
I think he had like 62.
It never does with those sixth or seventh round receivers. I mean, I think I did a whole article on it last year that like if he finished his career with like 100 yards receiving, he'd be like an exceptional case of a seventh round receiver.
Right. Yeah. But those guys often don't show much in training camp, at least. No. This was so confusing because he was dominating. Like Xavier Rhodes, who was their top outside guy at the time, said this guy is special. It didn't translate to much during the season. I actually talked with him this spring during OTAs. He said he's working hard at special teams and to just be more consistent in practice in order to carve out a role during the regular season. So it's a real loaded group at receiver. It's an unheralded group nationally, but there's a ton of youth and potential in it. So
yeah. I don't know if I'd call it loaded. I'd probably just say it's interesting with like everything. It's like interesting. You know, it's very interesting. It could be a disaster.
Yeah, but it could be a disaster. Fun. I want to say loaded with options. We just don't know. It's full of options. We don't know what is going to translate, but yeah.
It's like we're going to like Golden Corral or something like that. Like you get the buffet, but we don't know if it's going to be a good day for the buffet or not. You know, it's
I haven't been to Golden Corral in so long. That's that's upsetting.
But no, I mean, just to go on your point though, I think you got four guys that are locked in, you know, Alec Pierce, Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell and Ashton Doolin. You know, they should have roster spots this year. You know, even if all four of them are horrible in camp, all four should make the roster just from what we've seen in the past couple of years. But, you know, that last one or two spots is going to be super interesting. You know, Desmond Patman's going into what, year three, year four now, I think. Yeah. I think you're
him and four. Pittman came in together. It's year
right,
three.
Right. Year three. So, I mean, as a late round pick, that's a long time to be with an organization. Same with Strong's going into year two. They got some other interesting guys, you know, Kiki Coody still around and he, you know, has had some success in the NFL. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting names there, but again, outside the top four, you know, it's really up for grabs. So yeah, I think that's going to be a great, great battle to watch at least. My next one I'm going to go to is the safety group, especially with the sudden retirement of Kari Willis. I know it wasn't extremely expected around the league or anything like that, but I think the Colts were pretty aware of it when they made that selection of Nick Cross. In the third round when they signed Rodney McLeod. You know, they have a lot of options there to take over that strong safety role. I do think it's interesting that, I the Colts do want Nick Cross to be their long-term strong safety. You know, I know a lot of people said, oh, with this speed, this is a free safety guy type like that. But this is a big player. You know, he's 210, 215 pounds, can run the alley like better than most, you know, prospects that you'll ever see at safety. And I think that they kind of envision him in this Seattle type scheme being a Jamal Adams type. You know, he can play in the slot, he can play around the box. And if you have to have him play deep, he can do that as well. It's just a matter of if he's going to be ready for it in year one. You know, we've seen rookies come in. Kari Willis in year one took the job from Clayton Gathers, you know, in what, 5 weeks, 4 weeks, I think, in 2019. Yeah. Like it was quick. It was really quick. And Nick Cross has less competition for that role. You know, McLeod is going to be a more of a free safety who can play strong safety. So I think it's going to be interesting to see where Cross is at and how many starting snaps he gets in training camp, because I know long term they love this kid. They want him to be the strong safety of the near and distant future for this team. Mm-hmm. They think he can be great in this defense. Yeah. It's just, you know, do they go with McLeod early this year or some other kind of package? And honestly, again, Julian Blackman, we don't even know if he's going to be ready for week one. So there's just so many questions there at safety. But I'm really, really excited to see how much snaps Nick Cross gets with the ones this offseason. I know you can't tell us 100%, Jake, but eventually you could tell us if he got all those one snaps.
I'll get there. They did so much rotation with the safeties last summer. It was hard to keep up. Like they had TJ Carey playing safety occasionally.
Yeah.
And then who is our guy that went to the Softery Eagles?
Or whatever? Andre
yes.
Softery?
Yes. That's right. Yes. We talked so much about him last summer.
We got his name right, and then he left. He left after we got his name right.
We learned, so we committed to him, and then he was gone. But no, Blackman, I don't know. I hope, you know, he could start camp on PUP. If you hear my dog just hacking up along the way.
That wasn't me wheezing, guys. That was not me wheezing.
No, that's my dog wanting to make her presence known. But no, Blackman, he posted a video the other day of him dunking. I mean, that's an explosive thing to do on an Achilles. So he might start camp on PUP, but I mean, I'm optimistic he would be there week one. But of course, I'm not a team doctor. I can't really say that. But I think Frank Reich said he wouldn't put it past him to be available when camp starts. So they seem optimistic about it. That's cool. Nick Cross, of course, like you said, I'm sure they had some inkling of what was going on with Willis. He wasn't really there at any point during the spring, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's a high character stand-up guy. I'm sure he let them know what was going on. But no, Cross, I mean, I'm sure they were aching to get him involved at some point, and now he's kind of falling into their lap by default. With that said, Rodney McLeod is kind of their, I'm sure, movable guy. Like a much better version of what Andrew Sandejo was supposed to be.
Yeah, much better. Emphasis on the much.
Yes. So they moved Sandejo around, like, because they had injuries to free safety and strong safety last year. And they were like, this Andrew Sandejo guy can play both. And now I think they would like that to be Rodney McLeod.
We're going to get so many mentions how we couldn't go one podcast without saying something bad about Andrew Sendejo.
Yeah. You know who's intriguing? It probably won't do it. It will not translate to anything this year. But the Colts do have an international program player in the safety group with Marcel Dabo or Dabo. Not sure yet. But I think they kind of plan. It seems like he's safety for now, but I think he was drafted as a corner. What, you know, or not drafted, but
signed.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah. So he factors in. They kind of get a 1 year pass on him, an extra practice squad spot. But yeah. So, all right. So we've gone through safety as well. I was actually going to get into the defensive line depth next, because I think we obviously know the starters, Kwity Paye and Yannick Ngakoue outside, with Buckner and Grover Stewart inside. That's kind of a given. But there's a lot of questions in the depth there. Looking at N specifically, Tyquan Lewis coming off of an injury that a lot of guys haven't been able to come back from, or at least never been the same. But they gave him the one-year prove-it deal. Dayo Odengbo, that's who I'm sure you want to be your next guy coming off the bench.
Yes.
You know, he had the Achilles last winter. He, from talking to him in the spring, it seems like he's back to feeling like himself. So that would be great for him. The new guy, Ifeati Odenigbo, who you and I have kind of had an eye on for a sneaky free agent piece. He should probably play the role that everyone wanted Al-Qadeen Muhammad to play the last couple of years, which is that of supporting cast rather than full-time starter. But no, probably, you know, you're hoping for about 4 sacks from a guy like that. Decent run stopper. And then Ben Banigou, the big wild card. Maybe a fresh, you know, turning over a new leaf, fresh start with the new coaching staff with Nate Olley and Gus Bradley. Had a dominant camp last year, was getting, racking up sacks left and right. Let's see if this new coaching staff sees something in that and gives him some snaps, gives him some love. Inside, the depth is weird. It just really is. Chris Williams is probably your third guy right now. He looked impressive at times last year, especially last camp. Curtis Brooks and Eric Johnson are draft picks. Brooks probably more ready to play now, while Johnson is kind of the higher upside guy. And then RJ McIntosh hasn't played in a couple years, so you really don't know what you're getting there.
Yeah, dude, I am irrationally excited about Curtis Brooks for whatever reason. I mean,
me too. That's my day three sleeper for them.
Dude, when you look at his film, like I'm not throwing this comp out there to be like hot take here, be like, oh, he's going to become this guy. But I feel like a lot of, when you look at his film, it kind of reminds you of, like, you know, Grady Jarrett slipped because he was a smaller guy. I think he was a little older coming out as well.
That's like the exact complaints for people about Brooks, his size and age.
Right. Yep. Because if you look at his film, there is nothing to get upset about. Like I watched, I think I have like 8 games of his on all 22. So I was able to watch like a ton of his games, and it's like, he has a sky high motor. He's a really good and nuanced pass rusher. And in the run game, he actually gets some good push in there for being, again, like a smaller guy. I don't know what the plan is for him in year one yet. And that's what camp is going to be huge for with him. But like, if he plays anything like he did this past season in college, like, it's going to be really good. Cause I really think, you know, that Cincinnati had a bunch of good pass rushers. I think he was the best pass rusher on that defense last year. And I think Indy could have got a steal with him where they got him, but it'll be interesting. I think all those guys are going to be really intriguing names to look at when it comes to camp and see what the rotation looks like for sure. Last one I'll tackle here for this show will be just the offensive line in general. I think we're kind of taking for granted, you know, Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter being able to step into starting roles. You know, Matt Pryor did some good things last year. Obviously, Danny Pinter has filled in nicely the last 2 seasons. But, you know, they're going to be full-time starters going into this upcoming season, potentially at least. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what those guys look like as starters. And then also, you know, does a Bernard Raymond push Pryor a little bit and maybe take that starting job from him? Does a Will Fries take the job from Danny Pinter? And then on top of that, too, like the big three, the guys who are all paid big contracts, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, and Braden Smith, all had down seasons last year with injuries and COVID. And then Ryan Kelly obviously had, you know, the personal issue with his I think it was his daughter, I believe, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously reasons to have down years, you know, but you want to hope to see those guys bounce back to, you know, Quentin Nelson looking like an all-pro Hall of Fame type guard, Ryan Kelly looking like that Pro Bowl center, and then Braden Smith again looking like a Pro Bowl right tackle. You want to see all those guys kind of bounce back for the new quarterback. So it'll be really interesting to see these offensive linemen in camp. And then, again, with right guard and left tackle, with so many bodies that they have for those two spots, just seeing what the rotation looks like, who can maybe be the Chris Reed or who could be the Matt Pryor of this season, you know, as the backup swing guys.
Yeah, they at first, when the offseason began, I was super worried about the offensive line.
Yeah.
And now I like a couple of the moves they've made. Of course, Bernard Raymond was a really good value pick in the third round, especially if he can be your long-term left tackle. But the supporting depth moves they made in free agency. Dennis Kelly is a guy that a lot of us have wanted to see on the Colts last couple years through free agency.
He wanted to be here last year too. It was really interesting that I just think Indy wanted to try the other guys that they signed, which,
you know,
revisionist history, it's easy to say like that was stupid, but
all right.
But, you know, 1 year later, they get it right at least. And, you know, kind of with other positions, they've done that too. So Dennis Kelly, Dennis Kelly, he wanted to be here. I mean, Indy guy too. And he's a good player. Mm.
Yeah. And of course, Jason Spriggs played at IU. Yeah. But no, I mean, I like the would-be starting five with Pryor, Nelson, Kelly, Pinter, Smith. And then they've got guys who can play all around. Will Fries can probably play a couple spots. Dennis Kelly, Spriggs, Raymond. So I like the offensive line a lot better now than I did at the beginning of the season. My last group, real quick, way less guys involved. Isaiah Rogers versus Brandon Faison for that kind of, I guess, third corner role, even though it'll be in nickel packages, the other outside corner. You know, Stephon Gilmore and Kenny Moore, we can probably assume their roles. Kenny, you know, they'll be the guys on the outside in base, but nickel, Kenny will kick inside. Is it going to be Rogers or Faison as that other outside corner? Now, in OTAs and in minicamp and everything, both of those guys really shined. They were attacking the ball. They were aggressive, and they were covering well also. So you really like to see that. I think Faison was probably more insurance. They're probably comfortable starting him. Yep. But by all means, if Rodgers keeps progressing, they invested that draft pick. They have developed him. Why would he not be that guy?
Yeah, no, I'm super, super pumped about that battle. I mean, I'm a big fan of both those guys, and I think both of them are so close to being good NFL start. Like, Isaiah Rogers and Brandon Faison both have, you know, good moments, but I think they're like one or two things that they need to get better at from being good NFL stars. And we should do a whole segment on these guys next week for sure. But Faison, I think if he can be a little more disciplined in his reads and his movements, I think he could be a good NFL starter. And then Isaiah Rogers get a little bit stronger at the catch point. I think he could be a great NFL starter. I mean, he's got the ball skills. He's got the speed. I'm really, really high on both of these guys, and whoever wins this camp battle, I'm super excited to see them start. So we'll do a whole segment on these guys though, because I could talk for days about both these players.
I think that's definitely a segment for next week. But in general, I think that is it for us on this very first episode of the new Locked On Colts. We'll be back next week, which is the week of the 4th of July. And you know what? Your local parks department won't be the only ones bringing the fireworks, folks. aside from brilliant jokes like that, Zach and I are going to be back talking all about training camp. You know, the ups and downs, the A to Z of training camp. We got you covered. We'll tell you what to expect. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can get me at Jake Arthur NFL on Twitter and Facebook. Zach is at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. And of course, the Locked On Colts account on Twitter. That's at Locked On Colts. And of course, subscribe, rate, review. We would love it. We would love you for it. But yeah, again, that's it for this episode of Locked On Colts. Don't forget to check out Locked On Indiana Pacers as well. For their analysis on their recent NBA draft and their first pick, Benedict Mathurin. I hope I said that right. I probably didn't.
We're going to go with it. It sounded good to me. We're good with it.
All right. All right, everyone. You have a great weekend, and we will see you next week.